There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hey, welcome into Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange alongside Charlie Pulillo and Josh Jordan. You can go follow them on X at Pulillo and at Josh Jordan SCS. Charlie, Josh, welcome in. Ooh, what a game it was in Houston on Thursday night. Third straight start without C.J. Stroud. We said Monday night the Texans D would have to hold Allen to another game of 150 yards passing like in their last matchup. Instead, Allen goes for 253. We said the Texans would need to contain James Cook. He goes for 116 and a touchdown. Yet, it was the relentless defense sacking Allen eight times and that crazy second quarter in which Houston scored 17 that ended up being the difference. Minor assist to the missed Prater PAT on the very first Bills possession. But we got to start with the defense. That was absolutely the story of the game on Thursday night. It got a little dicey at the end. Probably shouldn't have been as close after allowing Buffalo to convert that fourth and 27. But in the final seconds, Houston's D stands strong. Charlie, give me your thoughts on the effort from D'Amico Ryans and Matt Berg's defense on Thursday.
Well, it's a little early to order statues for Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, but just a hellacious daily double performance. Officially, Anderson gets 2.5 more sacks. Hunter gets 2 more sacks. That's 7 in 3 games for him. They both cruise into double figures for the season. They could both wind up 15-plus this season. And I said, it was either in the preview or post-Titans that you need to rack up 3-4 years to get mentioned with the all-time great tandems. But if we confine it to a shorter stretch of time, this is just awesome stuff. And we can jog memories on names like Chris Dolman and Keith Millard, who were a pair with the Vikings back in the 80s. J.J. Watt and maybe the very best of Whitney Mercilus for a year in Texans history. But these are just two great football players. Throw in Anderson's athleticism to bat down one of Allen's quick pass attempts where they worked over the Texans a number of times in this game. But Josh Allen, as mobile, athletic, and beastly a quarterback as there is in the NFL, limited to just 20 yards rushing on scrambles, 8 sacks for the game, 7 of those coming in the second half, 2 of them on the final drive before the hook and ladder, which possibly could have blown the whole thing. But then Allen hurried one more time. Could have just let that ball hit the ground rather making an interception somehow. It deflects off of you and the Bills catch that. But Caleb Bullock pads the stats for a 2-interception and forced fumble game. This was a performance that goes up there close with the best of the Buddy Ryan Oiler defenses. That glorious season until the playoff loss to the Chiefs in 1993's season. I mean, the Bills go right down the field the first drive of the game. The only reason they sniff the end zone otherwise is because of the kickoff return.
Yeah. Outside of that James Cook run for the touchdown, their offense didn't do anything pretty much the whole game. Thank goodness special teams put some points on the board for them. But just what can you say about this Texans defense, man? Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, and man, not just those guys. Charlie hit on it. Caleb Bullock, my Lord, with that forced fumble was incredible. The interceptions, what a great game by him. He is really coming along, man. I was super impressed. I think those were kind of the big things for me in the game is, you know, Bullock had a pick six, right? But the penalty wiped it off the board. Yeah. We have to talk about that too. That was a huge play. And I think the other huge play was that Mills touchdown to Higgins after they had scored to answer before halftime. I thought that was huge to just from a momentum perspective and to show that they could put some points on the board that didn't involve, you know, the field goal factory of sadness of Fairbairn coming back out there, because we were getting a little worried there, right? Because several times they were so close to the end zone and they ended up having to kick field goals, or that one time they ended up having to punt. And they almost went for that fake punt, but they had the false start, so they didn't go for it. A lot of things worked out. They played it super conservative, and we were wondering, is this going to come back to bite them? You know, the second half, they didn't do a whole lot, but the defense stepped up. They did just enough, and I couldn't be more happy. Man, Josh Allen, that guy never wants to come back to Houston. It just shows you, look what the Texans can do in prime time when they're playing at home versus when they're on the road. They're just a different team when they're playing in Houston.
Yeah, the Josh, to your point, it looked like maybe momentum was slipping away. They only get 3 points off that turnover, the one that you talked about that should have been a pick six. They only end up getting 3 points off of that. And then the return for a touchdown after that, you felt like, oh, man, it just felt like the momentum got sucked out. And then Mills on the two-minute drive drives them right down the field. Now, when you look at the stats, it's not really impressive. There's nothing really impressive. Mills, 16 for 30, 153 yards, but two touchdowns, and did enough because the defense was just so stingy. What did you guys see on the offense?
Well, in the first half, it was bipolar. A lot of bad stuff in there, but two touchdown drives of 70 yards plus. You net it out, you have a 14-point offensive half. That's a 28-point game if you can replicate it. That's solid work. The second half, though, they were worse than feeble and enabled the Bills to have a chance to pull it out, but the defense ultimately rose to the needed occasion. Second half, Texans possessions, three and out, a field goal on a drive that started at the Bills 22 after the fumble, three and out. Then they get one first down on the out pass to Higgins to start the drive, and then they immediately go three and out. The second half offense was garbage, but turnover free. So again, dating to the third play from scrimmage in the Jacksonville game, Davis Mills, three straight clean games. Their running backs just do not fumble. Right, Joe Mixon, as reported on Texans on Tap a month ago, by the way, his season over before it started. Rest of the world, I guess, is just now catching up. But Mixon must have conveyed his "I never fumble" talents to the Texans running backs, and no more possibility of a Damian Pierce fumble ever now for the Texans. As I digress, but their wide receivers don't put it on the ground. So their giveaway takeaway margin now is, I believe, at +9. After getting three from the Bills tonight, the two interceptions and the fumble. But defense. Defense wins championships is overrated unless you're the Baltimore Ravens of 2000, the Buccaneers of 2002. Generally speaking, you need to have a really good team. But one side is going to be better than the other. It's lopsided in this case because it is what we hoped this defense could be from a Texan standpoint in preseason. Absolutely elite. At this point, the best in the game.
Yeah, from offense, the number one stat, Charlie hit on it, zero interceptions from Davis Mills. That was huge. Just, you don't have to go out there and win the game, Davis. Just don't lose it. Don't throw that pick six. Don't make that big mistake at a crucial time, and he did not do it. And I was a little worried that, I mean, on first down, they were just crowding everybody in and just running into a brick wall in the second half. And I tweeted out, I'm like, have they ever thought of like spreading it out and putting some receivers on the field so the defense has to spread out and cover those guys and then run the ball? You don't have to just get in packed in I formation to run the ball. There's no creativity there. And the other thing in my notes I had is just like, where's Nico Collins in the second half? It's just like, get the ball to Nico, but they weren't able to do that very much. So, but that's okay. The running game, we talked about this in the preview. The Bills are terrible against the run. It's not like the Texans went buck wild or anything, but they did enough. Woody Marks, 16 for 74. You're like, that's not that great, but it's 4.6 yards a carry. You'll take that. A lot better than Nick Chubb, who ran 6 for 16, which is a little over 2.5 yards per carry. Got a little worried there. Woody Marks keeps leaving the game injured, but he manages to come back every week. So hopefully he can take this pounding that they're going to have to keep giving him the ball. He's the smaller back and they're worried about his injuries, but their season was on the line tonight, boys. They stepped up. They got it done. boy, that 4th and 27 scared the crap out of me. I was just kind of wondering, like, why don't you just rush a few guys and have everybody standing kind of right around the first down marker? I was surprised they played it the way they did. Fortunately, it didn't bite him in the butt. But overall, I like what I'm seeing from Higgins here. He's starting to regularly get in the end zone, and we finally saw Christian Kirk do something too.
I want to mention what I thought was one important sequence, as it turned out, among many. But in the third quarter, the Texans' second possession after they'd exchanged three and outs with the Bills, and the Texans have a 3rd and 2. They run Chubb, who gains nothing. 4th and 2 at the Bills' 45. And there was angst in the crowd when D'Amico, after pause, sent out the punt team. Now, it's natural for fans and maybe for analytics to say, in the other team's territory, 4th and 2, you go for it. Do the analytics people pay attention to what the Texans do on short yardage and goal-to-go situations? D'Amico played the field position game. Now, I'm sure he wasn't banking on getting a turnover 3 plays later, but they did. That's when Shakir fumbled after the catch and run, the Bullock second of 3 turnovers generated in the game. But field position was a massive component in this game. The Bills' starting possessions, the first 8 times they had the ball, their 19-yard line, their 12-yard line, their 5-yard line, their 25-yard line, their 20, their 10, their 8. You could have an amazing offense. It's going to be tough to make a living, damn sure, against a top-tier defense, having to go 85, 90 yards for your touchdowns. And the Bills' starting a drive position was inside their own 15-yard line until Fairburn kicks a touchback to give him the ball at the 35. And then the next possession, they got it at the 38, got it down for a field goal. But the last drive where they had to go all the way, knowing field goal wouldn't cut it, going back to that initial missed extra point, started at their own 21-yard line, where one penalty or 73 sacks can throw you behind the chains and force you into tough spots. And, you know, that hook and ladder, if that had turned into a touchdown, that would be like getting beaten by a Hail Mary. People might have wrote, how can you get beaten by that? Because every once in a while, something just ridiculous or miraculous or tragic, depending on which side you're on, happens. The Texans' signature is their pass rush. So I had no issue with them not playing prevent defense and just rushing a 3 there. When they need 27, you could argue, make him get rid of the ball in a hurry. And hey, they had a good play call and got close. But then the D just did it one more time and one more time and one more time. And while Anderson and Hunter are awesome and obviously draw so much coverage, how about a key false start late by Deion Dawkins, left tackle, thinking, I better get off quickly. That's a veteran starter for years who in the moment flinched. But the Texans are getting work out of the others. Mario Edwards with a sack, Tim Settle splitting one with Anderson, Derek Barnett with a sack. And one more point, enhancing Anderson and Hunter's awesomeness. And we've touched upon this previously, but being fresh with your pass rushers in the fourth quarter, that they have depth. And if you track it, and I don't know if Herb Street mentioned on the telecast, pretty much every other series, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter sit out first and second down. Because they have competent players, obviously not guys as good as Anderson and Hunter, but if it gets to a third and passing situation, that's when they start their series. And those downs saved, tread wear on the tire, conserved for second, third quarters by taking off some early downs, there's still gas left in the tank. Or be consistent, tread on the tire for those guys in the fourth quarter, and boy, did it manifest itself in this game.
Yeah, the field position was key. I wanted to touch on something that Josh said. He talked about the scare for Marks. We also had a little bit of a scare from Will Anderson Jr. He went off the field with, looked like a shoulder or something like that. That was in the Bills' first possession in the third quarter. Cook goes for one. They get that wide open pass to Hawes for 18, and then Will's out of the game. Allen scrambles for one. Cook runs for third, and then on 3rd and 3, Anderson's back in and then chases Allen out of the pocket. He beats Spencer Brown, chases him out of the pocket, falls down, gets up, chases him downfield and takes him down. It was an incredible, just kind of a encapsulating moment for what this defense, the effort of this defense, but specifically the effort of Will Anderson Jr. That guy has a motor. And Charlie, to your point about the field position, now key that was, I counted three holding penalties on Bills returns. They shot themselves in the foot on special teams all night long, especially, again, we mentioned the Prater missed point PAT in the first quarter that ends up being really big because the Bills can't tie it on a field goal in the fourth there. I have to ask this because it gets brought up in the comments and it's going to be a natural point of banter because with Mills going 3 for 3 in his starts, do you think the results are different if Stroud's in there? And the reason why I ask that is Stroud seems to sometimes work himself into a sack. He kind of walks himself into a sack sometimes. Mills, 0 sacks tonight, and the one where they had had him the closest, he was able to kind of fight away as they were wrestling him down, and he throws the ball and gets it just out, just past the line of scrimmage. What do you think, CJ versus Mills in these games?
No quarterback controversy. Stroud's vastly more talented, much more big play, deep ball potential. Credit to Mills for his elusiveness within the pocket in this game against the Bills. But the reality is, A, clean turnover-free football, very important. But the Jacksonville game, the offense blew chunks for 3 quarters and then had that one gift from the football gods fourth quarter. Against the Titans, they scored 16 points. And against the Bills, they had 60 yards of total offense in the second half. So it's not like Mills is putting up huge numbers and because he doesn't turn over the ball. It's not like CJ Stroud's a turnover machine. Yeah. I mean, his rookie season was special, throwing only 5 interceptions, a dozen last year, and he was mixing in one here and there early. But Stroud's head is clear, and he's through the protocol as expected, right? Not another 10 days until they go play at Indy, a game with heightened stakes now. Zero doubt that it's 7, not 10. I was going to say under center, but taking the ball from the center since a lot of his shotgun.
Yeah, I think Kaylee clearly doesn't really trust Davis Mills that much on that Nick Chubb play on what 3rd and 2 where he got stuffed. They ran the ball on 3 straight plays. You let Mills throw it. Marks made a couple runs and then Chubb got stuffed and that was it. So they still don't clearly trust Davis Mills that much. And when your defense is playing that well, I get it. There's no reason to take unnecessary chances there. But there was an opportunity. If they could punch it in, they could kind of seal the game. And they just were never really able to do that towards the end. So I just think kind of what Charlie's alluded to is there's just so much more upside with CJ Stroud. So you're just happy that Davis Mills got you through some big games, got you some wins, perhaps saved your season. Awesome. Now you add CJ to the mix. And, you know, I know Davis loves to throw to Nico, but CJ's got a pretty damn good connection with Nico too. And I know Stroud was saying he was really disappointed that the concussion happened when it did, because he had a really nice game against the 49ers. And he said he was really kind of starting to feel like things were beginning to click, and that it was unfortunate that he had to take off all this time when things were starting to go well. So hopefully, sometimes you see this with quarterbacks where they watch the backup play for a while on the sidelines, and they kind of learn a few things that they didn't maybe notice when the bullets are flying at them. When you can sit back and watch somebody else, sometimes you can pick up a tip or two, and maybe that's something he can use going forward. So obviously there's no quarterback controversy. CJ Stroud, at his best, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He just hasn't been that consistently lately, but we'll see. I think we're starting to see something here with Jaden Higgins getting going, and we know what Nico can do. And if Woody Marks can continue to be a factor, and Dalton Schultz is having one of the best years of his career. He didn't do much tonight, but that's okay. They didn't need it tonight. So I'm super excited about the win. I was on the edge of my seat the whole game. I know it was kind of an ugly game in some parts because of all the penalties and all the injuries and even a referee got hurt. There were so many injuries in this game.
Even the play clock got hurt.
It had me wondering too, like, how cheap is the NFL that you can't afford to have like one backup ref just in the waiting in the wings, just in case something like this happens. I know it rarely happens, but they have all the money. I'm just kind of surprised their best option is just like, hey, you go do 2 people's jobs.
Yeah, it's like WWE. It's like, where you need some backup refs. Look, now Texans are going to head to Indy. We're not going to get into a preview here because that's going to come next week. But Texans head to Indy, and then they go to the Chiefs. They face the Cards and Raiders. So there is a realistic path for them to be able to sneak into a wild card spot here. We talked about how ironic it would be if they revive somehow their playoff hopes with Mills under center. They've done that. They're now above 500 for the first time all season. Charlie, what do you think this does for their chances to realistically sneak into a playoff spot here?
Well, I mean, it catapults them forward. I mean, it's not like they're 80% taking it in. If they go lose at Indy and at Kansas City, an obviously conceivable outcome, they won't be laid out, but they'd be in very deep trouble. Makes you wonder, what's the better outcome for the Texans this weekend with the Colts at Kansas City? Because there is now a reasonable path beyond the wild card to getting back in this division race. It would require beating the Colts twice. But if we take just those results, if the Texans beat the Colts twice, they're 8-5 with a pretty cushy schedule otherwise. Cardinals and Raiders at a Chargers team, which has lost both of its stud starting tackles and will be trying to block Anderson and Hunter, getting a bit ahead of the game. But the Colts also still play at Seattle, at Jacksonville. They have a game with the 49ers. So many stranger things have happened. And again, it begins with the Texans. They'd have to sweep the Colts. But failing that, well, then let Indy beat Kansas City, kind of almost get the Chiefs out of your way, and then rely on overtaking the Chargers, the Jaguars, or the Bills. 7-4 rather, the Texans at 6-5 and holding the tiebreak. Though the Bills have a mixed bag schedule. They still play at New England. Patriots beat them already. They play the Eagles. The Texans are going to have to get to at least 10 wins, I believe, to get in. But they were 0-3. They're 6-2 since then. That they can do at least 4-2 from here on in now? Why not? In play, no doubt.
I think one of the things I'm most excited about is the 10 days off. You know, this was a very physical, hard-played game. You saw Anderson coming in and out and them resting Hunter. So they're going to get 10 days to get refreshed. And the other thing I like seeing is, I'm not rooting for anybody to get hurt or anything like that, but I saw Josh Allen running off the field holding his left arm. I saw him running off the field holding his right wrist. I mean, like every body part, he was just getting punished. And he talked about it during his press conference this week about the beating he took last year. I think he took a bigger beating this year. How often do you see Josh Allen with zero touchdowns in a game? I mean, this was just dominance by the Texans defense. And man, if you're Daniel Jones and Patrick Mahomes, these guys know, especially Mahomes, he's faced this Texans defense. But, you know, I was listening to the Amazon crew after the game and they were saying, like, I don't think we've seen a defense this good in several years. This is a special, special defense. So give them a little rest. Give them 10 days to prepare for the Colts. Get them ready to ball. Get the offense going. Give CJ 10 days to get in the swing of things. And I like their chances.
Do I get credit for at least calling the score exactly right? Even though if I called it the wrong way, I had it reversed. It was on the number. Guys, if you're watching this live with us right now, put in the comments right now who your MVP of the game is. And now I'm going to ask the guys, Charlie, who's your MVP Thursday night?
It's almost where you can't go wrong going with one, the other, or a combo of Anderson and Hunter. So I'll leave them to the side. If you're directly involved, responsible for three turnovers, that's good enough for me. So Caleb Bullock with two picks and the forced Shakir fumble, he's the guy.
Yeah, you took my guy, Charlie. So I'll take Will Anderson. That guy's pretty good at sport.
Yeah, it was going to be Will Anderson for me as well. I mean, it's like you said, Charlie, there's plenty of credit on that defense to go around on a night in which, as you said, Josh, they hold Allen to no touchdowns and two interceptions. Just incredible performance by everyone on the defense. Great game called. Outside for that 4th and 27 that they surrendered in the waning moments of the fourth quarter, a near perfect game for those guys. Hats off to the offense as well. I don't want to leave them out because Marks did, I think, as much as you could do with the holes that provided. I mean, so many times, we didn't even talk about it, but how many times has Mark touched in the backfield and still was able to, very Joe Mixon-esque, getting touched in the backfield and still being able to squeeze a few yards out of it. So kudos to that guy. I wish he had bigger holes to run through. I wish there was some more creative play calling that would maybe free him up for some runs. But hey, beggars can't be choosers. We were begging for wins over these last three games, and we got three wins. Mission accomplished. Appreciate everyone in engaging with us tonight. And if you're listening with us after the fact, appreciate you listening all the way to the end. We'll be back next week. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long, and until next time, go Texans!
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.